This is Shippensburg 2015, and this is Class 2 on Unlocking Revelation with our brother Stephen Hornhart, and this is a second class called Judgment on Pagan Rome.
Thanks, Eric. Caught me by surprise then. Well, good morning, young people. How are you doing? Good? All full of beans, full of energy? Morning class didn't wear you out, I hope? You should have been recovered from last night's sleep. You should be bouncing around the room very, very energetically. All right. Oh. We probably need a bit more light there. Thanks, Craig. Yeah. That's all right. We'll go back to full lights, Craig. Even I'll fall asleep if the lights are off like this, not only the young people. All quiet for the next 55 minutes. All righty. Now, yesterday, we had a very, very broad overview, and we had a look at the structure of the apocalypse. And I'm going to build on that. You may remember the seals. Well, we coloured in the six seals. Where are the six seals, by the way, without looking up? What chapter? What chapter of Revelation are the six seals? No, that's not correct. What chapter are the six seals? Six. Chapter six. Everyone agree with that? You agree with that, Hannah? Chapter six, the six seals. Okay. Where was the seventh seal? Jade. With a little help from Hannah. Chapter... Indeed, that's where the seventh seal opens. There was silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. Okay, now we said the seventh seal rolls right through to where? On the screen, where does the seventh seal roll through to? Right up to the beginning of the... the millennium. So that line there, you see there's no line there, but the seventh seal rolls right out into the beginning of the millennium. Alrighty, and then we looked at very briefly and coloured in the seven trumpets. God's judged pagan Rome. Pagan Rome's been rolled up like a scroll. We're going to look at that a little later on with our sixth seal, because the sixth seal was a great earthquake and the pagan Roman Empire was rolled up and thrown away. Now, when we have a look at the trumpets, God's going to judge Christian Rome, because now Rome is now Christianized. It's not pagan anymore. It's Christianized, and God's going to use the trumpets. And we looked at the first four trumpets really, really quickly. We're going to look at that in detail. We colored them in. The four trumpets. We called them something that starts with a W. They were the four... Close. That's coming. That's coming. Hang on to that one. We've got that one. Indeed, the four wind trumpets. Any idea where we get that proof from, that this is the four wind trumpets? What chapter of the apocalypse do we find the four wind, this idea that they should be called wind trumpets? I made the comment yesterday and said, there's this picture of this angel standing there holding back something. Remember what chapter that was of the apocalypse? Have a look at chapter 7. Look at the first three verses. Grab chapter 7. All of you got chapter 7. Find in chapter 7 the first three verses where it talks about winds. When you found it, let the person next to you know. You all got it? Point it out to the person next to you when you've got the verse. Abby, you can point it out to Josh. Josh, you can point it out to Abby. Cecilia, you can point it out to James. James can point it out to Cecilia. You got it? All got the verse? Who'd like to read it for us? Who'd like to read it? I know you all can read. And I know you've all got a very nice accent. Who'd like to read the particular verse? You've already read a lot yesterday. That's why you're shaking your head. Who'd like to read? Thanks, Shiloh. What verse are we reading? Verse 1. Is it verse 1? Where you go? Nice and loud.
And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree.
Good. Now, what I want you to do, you all got pencils? Like pencils, not pens, pencils. What you need to do is write in your margin, the four winds of the earth, you need to write in your margins or somewhere as a reference, these are the four wind trumpets of chapter 8. Okay? The four wind trumpets of chapter 8. Or get that in your margins, that will be excellent. These are the four wind trumpets of chapter 8. So whatever you're reading that, doing the readings, or you could just, if you don't want to write these are the four wind trumpets, you could simply say, see chapter 8. The four trumpets. All got that written down? All got pencils? Good. So our first four trumpets, you colour them in. Actually, probably wouldn't be a bad idea, because we'll do this in detail later, but just doing structures, when you go to the first wind trumpet, what verse was that in chapter 8, the first wind trumpet? God's going to use the bud. Verse 7. Do you know who that is? Do you know which group of people that God is going to use to punish Christian empire? Do you know who it is, that first wind trumpet? Which barbarian group? Okay, so what I'll encourage you to do is right next to verse 8, the first wind trumpet was blown and there would be hail and fire mingle with blood. Well, this first wind trumpet was Alaric or Alaric, Alaric and the Visigoths. Alaric or Alaric was the leader of the Visigoths. So you need to jot that in your margin. This is Alaric or Alaric and the Visigoths. First trumpet. Dan, we're going to have to get you a Bible, like a writing one. Can you write notes in your margin on that one? Can you? Can you write notes in your notes? Do you not have one of these? Go ahead. Not with you? Okay, fair enough. That's good. As long as you can get some stuff down on some notes. So chapter 8, verse 7, all got Alaric and the Visigoths. Second wind trumpet. What verse? Which? 8, sing it out. Be loud. Be loud. I want to hear loud young people from America. Loud. Australian young people, they just yell and you got to, I don't know, you got to wear earmuffs sometimes when you're talking to them. So verse 8 or 8. Can you say 8? Can you say it like that? 8? 8. 8. Love it. Feel like I'm home in Australia. Okay, verse 8. So in verse 8, the second wind trumpet. Now this is Genseric and his pirate vandals. You don't have to write pirate, but he was a pirate. We'll talk about that later. Genseric and the vandals. You know what vandals are, don't you? So Genseric is their leader. And the mob of barbarians would be, in this instance, the Vandals. So, verse 8, yep, Genseric and the Vandals. I'll tell you some funny stories about Genseric a little later on. Okay, that's the second wind trumpet. What about the third wind trumpet? What verse is that? Oh, that's better, 10. Now, this is... What's verse 10 say, actually? You'd like to read that out really loud to us. Come to you young fellows, haven't heard your booming voices before. Jonathan, you've got a booming voice? Let's have a listen. Really loud. Really, really loud. Yeah, verse 10. Jonathan, louder. Louder, Jonathan. Louder, Jonathan. You haven't turned the microphone on. Block your ears now because he's really, really yelling this out, let me tell you.
Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water.
Good. So a star. Actually, it's not a star. It's actually a meteor. So it's like a meteor. And this person that would come like a meteor and fall in the areas of Italy and southern Switzerland would be... Well, you know who this bloke is. You've probably heard of him many times. Attila. And who was the mob that he led? The Huns. So here's Attila and the Huns. That's the third wind trumpet. So God's going to bring these barbarians, they're going to bring down the Visigoths, and he's going to bring down the Vandals, and he's going to bring down the Huns. They're all going to gobble up bits of the Roman Empire, bits of the Christian Empire. Wait and you see the history of that. It's fantastic. Righty, our fourth wind trumpet. What verse? 12. Somebody really loud reading that one. Where'd the mic go? Good on you, Daniel. Is there a microphone around here? Got a loud voice, Daniel? Oh, yes, you have. You nearly... Yeah, but Craig wants to. Don't you? You nearly blew the top off the roof last time you did that through the microphone. Daniel, hold it away from you.
Right. Just verse 12.
Verse 12, thanks, mate.
The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and the third of the sun...
Can't hear? Sorry, mate. Oh, you turn it on. Oh, you got to always push the button underneath there. Leave the button on. Go easy because it's going to be loud.
A fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night.
Good. Okay, well, that person that comes on the scene is... Theodoric and his mob of Ostrogoths. So the Ostrogoths. So Theodoric and the Ostrogoths. Anybody know the difference between a Visigoth and an Ostrogoth? Anybody? Have you heard the term Visigoth and Ostrogoth before? Visigoths? Obviously you have not read, definitely have not read Asterix. I'm going to have to get a copy of that and send it over to you. A Visigoth, we're talking about German barbarians, right? So if you hear about Visigoths, you're going to have a German accent. Ah, you're from the West, the West, the West. So what's a Visigoth? Yeah. The West, the West. What am I saying? West, all right? So if you're a German, ah, West or West. So a Visigoth is a Western Goth. They're all Goths, all come from Gotland. So a Visigoth is a Western Goth. An Ostrogoth is an Eastern Goth. Oh, you're from the Oist, the German. Oist or East. So Visigoth, Western Goth. Ostrogoth, Eastern Goth. Some come from the East, some come from the West, you see. Alrighty. Now that's your four wind trumpets. Now what about your... now here we come with... Kayla. Oh, no. Was it Kayla? No, it was Shiloh. Shiloh said there's another kind of group of trumpets. The first four are wind trumpets. What's the last three? Woe trumpets. Woe trumpet one, woe trumpet two, woe trumpet three, five, six, and seven. All right. Where's your first woe trumpet in chapter 9, verse 1 or verse 13? Verse 1. Verse 1 for the fifth trumpet or the first woe trumpet. Who are these? Who are these in the first? Who'd like to read verse 1 of chapter 5 for us? Where'd that thing go? Good on you. Good on you, pick him. James, what are you doing? Okay, James. Verse 1 of chapter 9.
All right.
Is it on?
Yeah, I lost it on. All right. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit.
Okay, so these would be, in fact, if you kept reading on through, it actually talks about locusts, locusts swarming out, and these locusts have actually got face like men, hair like women, teeth like lion, and they've got scorpions' tails. You heard that before? Tails like scorpions, faces like men, which means they've got beards, and they're wearing golden crowns. They're wearing yellow turbans. So what John sees, he sees yellow turbaned, bearded faced, long haired locusts with tails like scorpions going into battle. Who's he talking about? And these people would swarm out of Arabia. They'd swarm into Palestine, and they're going to swarm right across North Africa and up into Europe. And they would begin an empire that's creating havoc today, let me tell you, in the Middle East. So these are the Saracens. These are the children of the desert. This is the beginning of Islam. This is Muhammad, as he originated at Mecca. and these are the locusts that are going to swarm out. So God's going to bring the Saracens, the Islamic Empire, into the Christian Empire to judge them. Now here's where I need your help. Saracens. How do you spell Saracen? Anyone got a dictionary? Saracen? How do you spell it? How would you spell it? No, I'm not asking you. Saracen. I will go Saracen. No, it doesn't look like. So maybe it's one R. Saracen. We're just going to get the correct spelling here. So these are the children of the desert who had caliphs, who had leaders that would lead them in like a swarm of locusts. How do you spell it?
S-A-R-A-C-E-N.
Oh, there you go. S-A-R-A-C-E-N. So you need to write, young people, in your margin, next to verse 1 of chapter 5, the Saracens. The children of the desert. And of course, this was the beginning of the Islamic Empire. Yeah. What about the last trumpet? No, the sixth trumpet. What verse was that? Verse 13. Now we'll go. Thanks, mate. Now we'll go 13. Hannah, did you want to read verse 13? Verse 13.
And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God.
We need the next verse.
Both of them? 13.
Yep, next one
and
after
14?
That. Yeah, okay. Which says, and the sixth angel sounded.
Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates.
Okay, who knows what this group is? So there are four angels that are going to come across from the river Euphrates. Anybody know who this trumpet is? This group of people who are going to bring devastation to the part of the Christian Empire. We're talking now about the four angels or the four waves of Turcomans. These are the Turks. So the Turks are going to be our second woe trumpet. Our sixth trumpet, the Turks. And there are four of them. It says there are four angels bound by the river Euphrates. And in they are going to come. The Seljuks, the Tatars, the Mongols, and the Ottomans. Remember Genghis Khan? You heard of Genghis Khan? He was one of the mob of the four angels here that was going to sweep across from the river Euphrates. So you've got your Turks in that particular trumpet there. Very good. So you've got a bit of marking in your Bibles. Now what I want to do now, young people, having looked at the seals, the trumpets, you've coloured in the vials in Revelation 16. You've got the seven vials in Revelation 16. We're not going to go through those. So what I want to do now is to show you three other major parts that show the structure of the book of Revelation. If I said to you, in Revelation there are three great earthquakes, which is true. There are only three great earthquakes in the book of Revelation. And they form like a scaffold or a structure. And you can see how those three great earthquakes are systematically, by God, placed at the end of each of the six. See, at the end of the sixth seal is the first great earthquake. At the end of the sixth trumpet is the second great earthquake. And at the end of the sixth vial is the third great earthquake. So what we need to do is just go to those three great earthquakes, make sure you know what they mean, and make sure we've coloured them in, because they form an actual pillar or a scaffold for the book of Revelation. Like real signposts, you see. So let's flick over to Revelation 6 and see the first great earthquake. If you've got these coloured in a specific colour, when you turn these chapters up, they should just pop out at you. Anyone got any colour on their pages in this particular section of the Bible? Anyone got the earthquake coloured in? No? No? No, Phoebe? No, Hannah? Well, let's do it. Where's the verse that says, and there was a great earthquake? Dan? Verse 12. Big booming voice, Dan. Again, not too much. You'll blow the ear pads off Craig's ears.
When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the full moon became like blood.
Good. The first of the three, and there are only three of them, the first of the three great earthquakes in the book of Revelation. So let's make a note of that. Who knows what this one is? Okay, so first great earthquakes. We've got three great, and that's important, young people, because I want to show you something in a minute. Three great earthquakes. First one, Revelation 6. What was the verse?
12.
Good. Anybody know what this first great earthquake was? It's not a literal earthquake. It's a political earthquake. It's a shaking of people, not the earth, literally. Alrighty? So there are three political earthquakes in the book of Revelation. So, anybody know what shaking this is that removes an incredible foundation and brings something in? Excellent. So the first great earthquake, well done, is the removal of paganism. You need to write that in your Bibles. The removal of pagan Rome. Your first great earthquake. Just make a note in your margins on that one. This is where Constantine comes in. I'm going to give you a date, because the removal of pagan Rome took place in AD 324. Constantine came in 312. He took Rome, but he didn't take the whole empire until AD 324. That's when paganism was finally removed from the west and the east of the Roman Empire. AD 324, first great earthquake. That's the sixth seal. So after your four horses, the white, the red, the black, the pale, and then the souls under the altar, then the sixth seal, pew, first great earthquake. Took about 12 years, actually, to shake the world, to remove paganism and bring in Christianity. That's a big political shake. Second earthquake. Where's the second great earthquake? Ha. Now, I've got something up on the screen. Do I give it away? The second great earthquake. Actually, you can see the date up there with the first great earthquake, can't you? AD 324. Right there. Paganism removed. Second great earthquake in the apocalypse. What chapter do you think? Does that give it away? It doesn't really, does it? I haven't given you... It's kind of tucked in out there. You've got to find the 13th verse of a chapter you do not know. James.
Chapter 11.
Well done. What a legend. How did you know? Right on, James. Well done. Chapter 11. James has wisely led us to chapter 11. Let's have a look at chapter 11 and find the verse of the second great political earthquake in the history of mankind. You gave us the verse, didn't you, James?
Yeah, verse 13.
Verse 13. Who'd like to read verse 13 for us? Who hasn't read? We're going to get a turn. Lixie, you want to read? Did you read yesterday? Would you like to read? You'd love to. Look, you're bouncing out of your seat to read, aren't you? Right, verse 13. Second great earthquake. Don't forget, it's verse 13.
Yep.
Right, second great earthquake.
Ready?
Okay.
Good.
Yep. Right, found in the apocalypse. And second great earthquake. Ready, Lex? Away you go.
All right, now go.
And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God of heaven.
Oh, I love this chapter. I really do. This is the second great earthquake. Anybody got any idea what this second great earthquake is about? Very good. So second great earthquake is the French Revolution. So you read dealing. What verse were we in? Verse 13? Right, so verse 13, when it says in verse 13 there was a second great earthquake, We're talking about 1789. So you need to write that down there, 1789, and this is the French Revolution. And that was a very, very big political shaking. This is when the French aristocracy was kicked out. Louis XVI, out. In fact, they cut Louis XVI's head off and cut Marie Antoinette's head off, I might add, the same year. Didn't happen in 1789, but it happened in 1793. They cut Louis XVI's head off and little Marie Antoinette's head got chopped off on the same year with a guillotine in the French Revolution. So French Revolution, 1789. Now, here's a very interesting thing. Alexa, you read the verse there and you said in that verse, would you like to read that again for us, please? I know.
And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven.
I love that little verse. And in that earthquake there was slain of men 7,000. Now, that's the French Revolution. There was slain of men 7,000? What does your margin say about slain of men 7,000? What's your margin? You got a margin? Anyone got a King, an Oxford Bible that's got a margin in it that actually shows us what it means, slain of men 7,000? There's a lot more people slain in the French Revolution than 7,000. What does that mean? You got a margin there, Cassie? You listen to this really loud. Where's the, Alexa? You're hogging this microphone, aren't you? Lexi loves using that microphone. Yeah. All right. Now, we're going to have Cassie read. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to give us... Oh, you're going to read the margin.
Yeah.
This is the French Revolution. What does it mean there was slain of men 7,000? In the French Revolution in 1789, well, Cassie's going to read her margin. Now, you listen to this and see if you can peg it in your head.
It says the names of the men.
In the French Revolution, the names of men were slain. Names. Do you know what happened in the French Revolution? When they kicked out the French aristocracy and kicked out the papacy, do you know what they said? Nobody is allowed to have a title. You're not allowed to be called a count. You're not allowed to be called a marquis. You're not allowed to be called a duke. Even Louis XVI was not allowed to be called sire or your majesty. Everybody was called citizen in the French Revolution. And the Bible says titles of men were obliterated. What an amazing thing. And that literally happened in the French Revolution. So the names of men, what the Bible is saying, in one little verse, the titles of men in the French Revolution, 7,000, seven is the number of perfection or completeness. So complete titles would be obliterated during the French Revolution. And all the Bible says is the names of men were slain. What an incredible thing. You don't want to jot that in your margin. The names of men, in other words, titles in the French Revolution were obliterated. Josh. Ah, well, that's a bet. What sort of translation is that?
ESV?
Might be a good translation, but that one's terrible. That verse. So it really is names or titles. You couldn't be a duke. So, Josh, if you were a count in the French Revolution and somebody whispered, Josh is a count, your head was chopped off. Anybody who had a title, anybody who was breathed at being aristocracy, gone. It was a mad place, especially the Reign of Terror. In the Reign of Terror in 1793, you couldn't whisper about anybody, otherwise they were taken straight to the guillotine. Alrighty, so that's our second great earthquake, French Revolution, where titles, the names of men, perfection or complete titles, were totally obliterated. What an amazing thing. And this book is the Bible, and French history just comes along and falls into the pattern of the Bible. Second great earthquake. Alrighty, what was the first great earthquake? What was the first great earthquake? Pagan Rome. Good. What came in its place? Good. Christian Rome. When was it overthrown? Paganism overthrown. What date? Good. AD 24. Excellent. Who was the person that came in and removed paganism? Excellent. Constantine or Constantine, as we might say in the land down under. But you're good. Your expression is good. That's two great earthquakes. Now, the third great earthquake which will be the greatest of all great political earthquakes, is found for us where? Dan? Very good. Revelation 16, verse 18. How did you know that? Oh, very well. That's good. It's excellent that you looked it up. All right, Dan, give us those references again. Revelation 16, verse 18. So Rev 16, verse 18. Now, be careful with this one. I don't want you to stumble over. So who would like to read for us Revelation 16 and verse 18? Jade, were you just scratching your shoulder there, or you? Were you volunteering to read, or you just had a sore shoulder? Oh, you volunteer. Very good. Okay, Jade, you read for us Revelation 16, verse 18.
And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great.
The third great earthquake. Thank you. Lightnings and thunders and voices, a great earthquake such as never was. So if you think paganism being removed was pretty dramatic, and it was, think again. If you think the French Revolution was pretty dramatic, and it was, and we're still feeling the effects of the French Revolution today, if you think that was great, think again. This is the greatest earthquake. What do you think this one is? Hannah, louder. It is. Christ returns and there's a big earthquake. Now, let's be very careful about Christ returns and there's a big earthquake. I want you to note something. I don't need you to say that. You've already said it, Hannah. I want you to note something. I want you to go back and I want you to read the verse that talks about Armageddon. What's that verse? 16? Shiloh, you want to read verse 16? Now, be very careful about this earthquake. I'm going to say this again. Be very careful about this earthquake. Get it right. Verse 16, Shiloh.
Just that one?
Yeah.
And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon.
Armageddon. Now we know in Armageddon that there will be a literal earthquake, yes? The Lord Jesus Christ's feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives. We know that the Mount of Olives will be split. We know there will be a literal earthquake. And we know the Dead Sea will be elevated and it will flow back and the River Jordan will be reversed. We know there will be a literal earthquake. Earth shake, shaking mountains and islands at Armageddon. But that is not the third great earthquake. Even though there's going to be a literal earthquake, you'll find that that word Armageddon is the end of the sixth vial. When you come and look at the third great earthquake, this is the beginning of the seventh vial. So when is this third great earthquake? The other two were political. This third one is political. Just like the other two. When do you think, Joe?
The human governments are overthrown by the saints
whenever. If we could peg when this third great earthquake would be, the third great earthquake, now you watch this on the chart, the third great earthquake, now there's the sixth vial, right? At the end of the sixth vial, which is the vial that we're living in today, right? We're in the sixth vial. At the end of the sixth vial is Armageddon. You just read that. The last word of the sixth vial is Armageddon. Now, the third great earthquake is the seventh vial. And the seventh vial begins immediately after Armageddon. And the seventh vial goes right through to the beginning of the millennium. So how long is that period of the seventh vial, which is the third great earthquake? How long is that period in years? Armageddon, the millennium. But there's a gap of years between Armageddon and the beginning of the millennium, the seventh vial period. In fact, during the seventh vial, you and I are going to do work. We're going to bring this world to heel. We're going to subdue the nations. The temple's going to be built. Israel are going to be regathered out of Europe. It's going to take a lot of years. How many years do you reckon the seventh vial is going to take, or the third great earthquake, before the millennium begins? Give me some guesses. Think of some very common and appropriate and important numbers in the Bible. 50, close, very close. But 50 years, not quite yet, not quite that. Very good, player one, Simon. Very good, Simon. So the third great earthquake is 40 years. There we go. So 40 years, And so for 40 years, there's going to be a shaking of the kingdom of men. Far greater than the shaking of the pagan Roman Empire. Far greater than the shaking of the French aristocracy in the French Revolution. This is going to be the shaking of the kingdom of men, where everyone's going to be that is against the Lord Jesus Christ, including the Catholic system, are going to be swept away. So what I want you to do in your margins, next to the third great earthquake, is write. You could write a couple of things, actually. If you actually put these few things in your margin, it would really help. So this third great earthquake, you could say, is 40 years. You could say this third great earthquake is the seventh vial. So that could go in your margin. That could go in your margin. And if you also wanted to put something in your margin or down notes, it's the period from Armageddon to the beginning of the millennium. So from Armageddon to the millennium. So those three bits of information next to the third great earthquake. The third great earthquake, 40 years. Third great earthquake, seventh vial. Third great earthquake, Armageddon to the millennium. Yeah. How you doing? Hanging in there, Seth? You with us? Elijah, you with us? Good. Joe, you're with us. You've been... What's your name card, Dale? What's your name? Adelia. Are you new? You've been here all the time, haven't you? You were here yesterday. Did you have a name tag yesterday? You did, but you've lost it. You don't have it. Odelia. Okay, I just got to keep remembering your names because I've got a competition that's going, you see. Daniel, James, Josh. All right, any questions on the three great earthquakes? All right, now I'm going to throw you a curveball. And you must have a curveball in the book of Revelation. There are two other places in the book of Revelation, only two other places where the word earthquake is used. We've got to nail this, otherwise we'll get confused. What I want you to do is to turn up Revelation 11. You've got your three great earthquakes, there are only three great ones. But when you do your readings or what have you, you're going to come across the word earthquake in two more occasions. Revelation 11. You got your second great earthquake there, coloured in Revelation 11? I want you to read almost the last couple of verses of Revelation 11. I'll get somebody to read the last couple of verses of Revelation 11. Casey, are you happy to do that? Now, I'm looking for the word earthquake. Where is it in Revelation 11, the last couple of verses? What are the verses, Dan? Good. That's what we're looking for. So we want verse 18 and 19. We want Cassie to read that with us. Get you guys to follow along verse 18 and 19. This is the word earthquake. Which one is this? There's only three great ones, but there's another occasion where the word is used. We need to make sure we know what this earthquake is. Thanks, Cass.
And the nations were angry, and their wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that they should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail.
Excellent. Now here's where you need your thinking caps on. I need you with me. The temple of God was opened in heaven. Who's the temple? Because it's a who, not an it. Who's the temple? Absolutely. Ye are the temple of the living God. You're made up of lively stones. We are the temple. So the temple, the saints, were opened in heaven. We're not going to go to heaven. We're in the political heavens, ruling with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that verse is after Armageddon. We are immortal. The temple is in the political heavens of the world. In other words, Jesus has just come back. Armageddon has been fought, and we're ruling from Jerusalem in heaven. Get that? Armageddon's just finished. We're ruling in Jerusalem. Then there's an earthquake. Get that? Then there's an earthquake. Voices and thunderings. What earthquake's this? Of the three we've looked at. Joe's got the answer. While Joe's just ready to give me that answer, I'm going to get you at thinking. The temple is opened in heaven. We're in Jerusalem. Armageddon has just passed. Then there is an earthquake, according to verse 19. What earthquake is this one? Of the three we've looked at? It's the third, absolutely. But it doesn't say great. It just says there was an earthquake. Whereas the other three said there was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake. You see, it said great three times. When you come across this one, you go, it just says an earthquake. Which one is it? Is it another one? Is it related to one of these three? It is related to one of these three. That one in verse 19 of chapter 11 is exactly Revelation 16, the third great earthquake in verse 18. I want you to cross-reference that. I want you to note in your margin, next to the word earthquake there, same earthquake as Revelation 16, verse 18. It's the same earthquake. It's the seventh vial. Armageddon's just finished, and we're about to start our 40-year work of shaking the world ready for the millennium. That's what it says in verse 19. Happy with that? Now, what you do, I want you to do now is to flick back to Revelation 16, verse 18. Revelation 16, verse 18. Flick up to there. Jot in your margins. See Revelation 11, verse 19. You're referencing back now to Revelation 11 and verse 19. So you can actually start building up this picture. Good. So we've got the three great earthquakes. And there were two other places in the Bible in Revelation where earthquakes mentioned. We've nailed one of them. All right? James. Excellent. That's the one exactly where we were going to go. And that's the last time. So the word earthquake is used five times. There are three great earthquakes. We've nailed that one in chapter 11, verse 19, because that couples with the third one. And this is our only problem. Revelation 8. What was the verse again, James? Revelation 8, verse 5. Very good. So this is our last one. So five times, we need to nail this one. So Revelation 8, verse 5. What does that say? This has nothing to do with any of the three great earthquakes. Revelation 11, verse 19 was locked into chapter 16, but this one is kind of like all out on its own, and it's not a great earthquake at all. It's a little shake, a little shaking of the people, because it's not going to last very long, you see. So what is Revelation 8 and verse... thanks, Cassie, you've got the microphone here. Well, seeing, James, you were the one that pegged it for us, how about you reading that verse? All right, the fifth and only time the word earthquake occurs in the apocalypse. Revelation 8, read away, James.
Verse 5.
If that works.
And the angels took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thundering and lightning and an earthquake.
So all that says is an earthquake, not a great earthquake, just an earthquake. Anybody got anything in their margins about what this earthquake was? Well, you know what happened when Constantine died. He died in 337. So in verse 8, or in verse 5 of chapter 8, Constantine dies when it says there were voices and thunderings and lightnings. Constantine's gone, AD 337. Voices, thunderings and lightnings. Write in your Bible, be careful, next to voices, thunderings and lightnings, write AD 337, Constantine's dead. And when he dies, the Roman world goes into chaos. There's voices and there's thunderings and there's lightnings. People are arguing, people are bickering, people are fighting each other. His sons are jostling for this. And so it's AD 337. But then in that verse it says, and there was an earthquake. That is AD 361. Constantine dies in AD 337. Everyone's gone berserk. I want this bit of land. I want that bit of land. No, you're not having it. You're killed. Get out of it. And all of a sudden, somebody comes on the scene and says, I'm fed up with these voices, thunderings and lightnings. Christianity's out. I'm going to bring back paganism. Constantine's nephew did that, and his name was Julian. So Julian the Apostate says, get rid of Christianity. I'm bringing paganism out. So there was a little mini earthquake, and it lasted 2 years. So that little earthquake there is the earthquake of AD 361 when paganism comes back for 2 years. Paganism back for just 2 years. That's why it's not called a great earthquake, you see. So now we've nailed all the five occasions in the book of Revelation where the word earthquake appears. Three great ones. One is attached to one of the great ones, and that one in chapter 8, verse 5, is the mini-earthquake of Julian, who says, I'm sick of Christianity, look at the mess it's created, bring back paganism. But he didn't last long. 2 years, mini-shake, then he's kicked out, Christianity's back. Got all that? Fantastic, I'll quiz you on that tomorrow. Okay? And I guess I expect 100%. Okay, so if you have trouble sleeping tonight, just get your Bible out and cram all these notes. Are we finished, Craig? Well done. Thanks, young people. Really appreciated your input and your energy. Hello there, Odelia. Good to see you. All right, we'll see you...